fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to wrap up today a theme I've been touching on this whole week, actually the last few weeks, the Acts of the Apostles, the story of how the gospel spread, how the church was built. And yesterday was a really great day. It was a great passage. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday or earlier this week, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. All the programs are archived there. You can just listen to them right there on your computer or download them, put them on your iPod, or listen to them whenever it's convenient for you. The stuff we've been hearing is so rich and very important, and it's so foundational to understanding what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a believer, and how Jesus built his church, and the fundamental truths that the church is built on. The story yesterday was the culmination of what's called the Jerusalem Council, where the apostles are gathered together discussing what Paul and Barnabas are bringing to them, a concern that some of the Jewish believers are requiring the Gentiles, those who are non-Jews who have become followers of Jesus, requiring them to be circumcised, to literally become Jews before they become followers of Jesus, or before they can become full members of Christ. And so here's the debate. Paul strongly disagrees with some of the brothers there, some of the apostles, and so he confronts them very directly on it. And so this is how the Lord brings the church into his wisdom and mind about this fundamental and crucial moment in Christian history when the Holy Spirit, following really on Peter's proclamation to Cornelius and his household, how the gospel starts going from the people of Israel, from the Jewish people, and gets extended to the Gentile world. That's God's plan from the beginning. That's why God chose a people. That's why he formed and shaped the people of Israel. That's why he began to reveal himself to a concrete people in a concrete time and place, and to form them in relationship with him, and to promise them what we now see and hear through the Acts of the Apostles, which is they're meant to be a doorway. What God began in them, he's going to bring to fulfillment in them. And as he brings that action, his action to fulfillment in the Jewish people, then the whole world will be blessed. The Messiah comes to the people of Israel, the Savior. He's a light to the nations. The nation of Israel is meant to be a light to the nations. That's because it's through the people of Israel, through the Jews, that the Messiah comes to the world. And the Messiah is God's Son who's come to save the whole world. And so the apostles are seeing and grasping this fully and understanding that Jesus is out ahead of them already. He's already doing it as they're proclaiming the gospel before people are circumcised or whatever these Jewish believers think is appropriate. Jesus is already, Peter says, baptizing them in the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about that today because it's really crucial. It's at the center of what it means to be Christian. And the recent popes have exhorted us time and time again to open our hearts to a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Pope Benedict XVI put it this way. I think it was in 2009 on Pentecost. He said, "I pray that all the baptized could once again experience the beauty of being baptized in the Holy Spirit." Well, where does that phrase even come from, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? You got to go back to Acts chapter 1. Luke, the writer of Acts, begins in chapter 1 with Jesus, the risen Christ, gathering with the apostles for the last time before he ascends into heaven, to the right hand of the Father and to glory. And here's what Luke says about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It says, "And while staying with them, Jesus charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but before many days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" Pope Benedict said, this is the climax and the high point, the purpose that Jesus came. Jesus took on human flesh to become one of us. He died on our behalf. He died for our sins to cleanse us from sin so that we could have what belongs to him, what belonged to Jesus. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Jesus said. "He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, to give sight to the blind." This is in essence who Jesus is. That description comes from the prophets of Israel who are foretelling who the Messiah will be, that the Spirit will be upon him and then Jesus coming forth from the Jordan River in his own baptism. When John baptizes him, there's a revelation of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit present there, and the Holy Spirit hovers over Christ. The Holy Spirit is upon Jesus, and Jesus later makes that declaration in the synagogue back in his hometown. The Spirit is upon me. So what do we see in Jesus? We see the new man, the new creation. What's the new man that is free from sin and passes from death to life? The new man is human flesh animated by the Spirit. Jesus Christ is one with the Holy Spirit. In him is the Spirit of God. And it's the Spirit that moves Jesus into mission. And Jesus tells the apostles, John baptized you with water. What was that baptism? A baptism of repentance, acknowledging their sin. Now, but Jesus said, I've come for a different baptism. I've come for the culmination and the completion of all that the Father promised. And what he's promised is to save you by giving you the Holy Spirit. And I myself will baptize you with the Spirit. Now, Jesus is the one at the right hand of the Father, reigning in glory with all authority and power. He's the one filled with the Spirit. And notice Jesus didn't say, you will baptize him in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He's the one. Why? Because he's the one who has the Spirit. He's responsible for us. He's the head of this new race of people. He took on human flesh to become one of us. He's the head now of this new creation, this new people of God that's being born in the earth through the Holy Spirit, through repentance, through baptism, and through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And faith, I shouldn't forget faith, that's very important. Believing in who Jesus is, repenting of our sins, being baptized and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the essential definition of really what's at the heart of Christianity. And so Jesus has the Spirit in superabundance. It's in him. It's united to him. And he brings to life every human heart that says yes to him. That's why Jesus said, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Friends, just because you're human, just because we're born into this world in a very broad sense, we're children of God, but we cannot enter the Father's house. We do not become full sons and daughters of God until we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, until we're born again by water and the Spirit. And only Jesus can bring us to new birth. He's the new creation. He's the one who's passed from death to life, and he has power over that whole regime of powers that hold us down and separate us from God. He broke that power, and Paul says, you were dead in your sins, and now Christ has come to bring you to life in him. And that's what this means. We come to life, and we come from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And as St. Paul said, from the power of Satan to the power of God, the power of God that's given to us is the power of the Holy Spirit. So Christianity, at its core and its essence, friends, is a new life in the Holy Spirit. And you notice that Jesus is saying, you will receive power, later he'll say in Acts, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you shall be my witnesses. Luke chapter 24, Jesus' first conversation with the apostles in Luke's account says, I will clothe you with power. Christianity is an empowered life in the Holy Spirit. It's not just another religion. It's not just good people with religious sentiment coming together and constructing a religious system that'll help everybody be good and do good. Christianity is a new life in the Spirit. Christianity comes to be into existence because Jesus, who is reigning at the right hand of the Father, by his power and authority, he gives the gift of the Holy Spirit to the apostles, who then are instruments of extending that gift to others. So Pope Benedict again saying, I pray that every believer could experience the beauty of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, as Catholics, we understand that the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to us at baptism, that this baptism in the Spirit happens when we enter the waters of baptism and receive the Holy Spirit. But for so many people, it happens in infancy, it's real, it happens, you become a new creation. But the expectation of living the way the Acts of the Apostles lived in the Spirit is very low among most Catholics. Because when we're given the Spirit, we're given power to live a new way of life. We're given power to extend the mission. We're given power to be courageous and bold and on fire. We're given power to love God, to love neighbor, to love our neighbor so much and love God so much that we'll obey God and extend his kingdom in the world and proclaim the gospel. And we love our neighbor so much and we care about their eternal salvation so that we're willing to share with them and eager to share with them. Paul tells us the love of Christ compels us to be able to share the gospel. That love of Christ in the human heart is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit creates movement in us. The Holy Spirit wants to move us into the mission and life of Jesus, into holiness and to mission. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And he gives us power to live a new way of life, to love God and neighbor, which is that path to holiness. And he gives us power to engage his mission, to extend his kingdom, to proclaim the gospel. These two fundamental things, the great commandment and the great commission, are at the heart of what it means for us to live now in the world as disciples. It's what the Spirit has come to give us. The Spirit has been given to make it possible for us to do what Jesus has commanded us to do. For too many of the baptized, the recent popes remind us, these things are options. You know, especially, I mean, the mission side is sort of an option. And that very few people live with that kind of animated passion. This is why when Pope Benedict came to the United States and Pope John Paul II said it over and over again, Pope Francis doing the same thing, what's needed today is the grace of a new Pentecost. What happened on Pentecost? That was the outpouring of the Spirit. We're approaching Pentecost, and every Catholic ought to be praying, every Christian ought to be praying for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit to stir your heart. Maybe some of you are listening saying, honestly, I just have never experienced anything like that. I get it, it's on the books, but I don't know it as a reality in my own life. Well, friend, that reality is meant for you. It truly is meant for you. The question is, are you expecting? Are you hungering? Are you thirsting? Are you seeking? That's the crucial thing. Jesus said, if you seek, you will find. The hungry and the thirsty will be fed, they'll be filled. Jesus said, the Father loves to give the Holy Spirit to everyone who asks. So every day as Catholics, we ought to be on our knees thanking God for the gift of the Spirit and baptism, but saying, Lord, stir up everything you wanted. You told me, Lord, you wanted to clothe me with power from on high so that I could be your witness. Whatever that power is lying dormant in me, Lord, forgive me. I want to be attentive to it. I want to be awake to it, and I want to run in it. Here's Pope Benedict here in the United States. He said, today I would like to extend this invitation to everyone. Let us rediscover, dear brothers and sisters, the beauty of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Friends, as we go through these readings leading up to the Acts of the Apostles in this amazing season in the life of the church, let this be our prayer, because this is what it's all about. Beg the Lord every day, Lord, baptize me. Help me know the beauty of being baptized in the Holy Spirit so that I can live in it and I can share it. Let your Holy Spirit move through me for the salvation of souls and for the glory of your name. Amen, friends. Have a wonderful weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.